on the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. Thank you for connecting. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Friday to you. Today is the 22nd day of October, 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. So, we are, I missed the live performance last night. It's his style. President Trump had his style. President Obama had his style. President Bush, they all had their style. But boy, is President Biden Mr. Low-key. I mean, he is really low-key. I mean, they were coming up with things about, Anderson Cooper was asking him good questions about, there's a bunch of people that want you to go to the border. We got a border crisis going on. You know, we got all these people down there. Are you ever going to go to the border? And he says, he basically said, well, yeah, I've been really busy. I've been too busy working on stuff. And I'm thinking... Oh, he said, I guess I should go. Something to that effect. I mean, it wasn't like, yes, I'll definitely go down there and find out exactly what's going on. I'm going to personally visit and make sure I know firsthand what's going on. No, he said, yeah, I guess I should go there. I mean, really weak answers. Same about, hey, what about China and Taiwan? I mean, what about Taiwan? And we'll play stuff for you here. But it was like, we'll defend Taiwan. Well, first of all, it wasn't strong. It wasn't pointed. And more importantly, is we have and had for decades a one China policy. It's kind of silly. Because we don't, wink, wink, recognize Taiwan, but come on, we do lots of business with Taiwan. We know that they're alive and well, but we don't want to disturb Beijing because Beijing says that's China, that's our country, that's part of us. And so we said, okay, we'll recognize you as China and those other guys out there. On that island, we'll pretend they don't exist. It's diplomatic goofiness. But that's the kind of diplomatic faux pas that makes all the diplomats go crazy. Oh, my gosh, he said, we'll defend Taiwan. Oh, we can't say that. We don't recognize it. What are we going to do now? So that was a big stink. There was a bunch of big stinks last night. But he's too busy to go to the border. But last week, no, it was earlier this week, Monday or Tuesday of this week, he flew up to Hartford, Connecticut, to say a few words at the opening of the former senator from Connecticut, Chris Dodd, built a Taj Mahal to his honor. That's what you do. You build buildings with your names on it and then your name on it. And then anyway, he had time to go up there and cut a ribbon with Chris Dodd, who was an old buddy of his from the Senate. He's still living like he's a senator. Yeah, he's my old buddy. I got time for that. I can go up there and cut a ribbon in Hartford, but I don't have time to go down to the border. No, I'm very busy with cutting ribbons. 855-295-6600. Gene in Nevada. Hi, Gene. Welcome. You're first on this hour. Welcome.
Excellent, Tom. Good afternoon to you. Thanks for the medium.
Good afternoon.
To get comments.
You bet.
On this whole Taiwan thing, I just want to touch on this quickly before inflation. Seems to me that Taiwan was occupied by Japan during World War II, and we actually liberated Taiwan from Japanese occupation. And it seems to me that we have a stake in their autonomy. And what we really need to tell the Chinese is to bugger off on Taiwan, and we need to start sending our aircraft carriers for protocols into their ports. I think that's what really needs to happen for Taiwan, and China needs to be really put in their place on Taiwan. So apart from that,
before you move on, though, I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Bean, you're talking about do something that it, be more aggressive. Have a spine. Stand up to China and tell them, I'm sorry that you have a problem with Taiwan, but we don't. We like them, and we're going to defend them. But we won't do that because the diplomats have come up with some agreement where you can't have to pretend that they don't exist. But this is, what do you, I mean, what do you think would happen if President Xi sent, because he's sending all kinds of battleships and military ships all over the place just to basically show that he has a spine. Don't mess with China. But we're not doing any of that stuff.
He's harassing Taiwan now with overflights with his jet fighters,
yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
And
yes.
That and Sleepy Joe is still asleep at the wheel, but I think we need to take a much stronger stand with respect to Taiwan. I mean, I remember growing up when they used to send their baseball team to Williamsport for the Little League World Series every year, and I thought, yeah. Oh, this, Taiwan must be a wonderful utopian place, you know. But when I looked on old maps and charts of the World War II and how it all laid out in 1940, 41, 42, they were occupied by the Japan, and we ejected
them. I did not know that.
World War II.
I did not know that.
They were called Formosa.
Well,
and we liberated Formosa.
Oh. I didn't know. You're teaching me today, Gene. I knew about Formosa. I didn't realize Formosa. I'm sorry. I've got a lot of things that I study, but that's not one of them. So thank you. And the importance today is the most valuable chip maker in the world that is far more advanced than any chip maker we have in the U.S. is right there in Taiwan. Are a prize.
Get their holds on, get their claws around a monopoly on chip making. But I do think
big
we need
time.
To send make ports a call on our Westpacs with the U.S. Navy. Make a courtesy visit to the port of Taipei, and send a signal to China that they're just to bugger off. And I don't think that there's anything that they would be able to do. I mean, apart from the artificial islands they're building in the South China Sea. You know, I mean that's. Apart from Taiwan, that's a pretty serious issue. You know, declaring whole oceans as non-international waters. You know, that's an act that's very warlike.
You have to remember, Gene, that we like to think of China as a competitor. Not, you know, I mean, we may get around to doing something when we have time, but we're not. You know, we don't want to be too pushy. Right. I mean, we've gone from a guy who would knock heads to a guy who just is like, I don't really care. It's amazing. The 180 that we've gone through.
Well, I'd be pretty concerned if I was a Taiwan resident and looking at the United States right now that there isn't going to be any help coming from us under this administration. And
me too.
And I think it is a precursor to war, because I do think that if they were to make an overt military strike on Taiwan, I think the democratic countries would have to respond in some way or another. And one of the responses they could take now is take all cargo ships, hold off the shore of Southern California that have goods from China, and just send them back until you discontinue the overflights with your jet fighters over the independent country of Taiwan. That's be the first move I'd make. I just wouldn't let any of this stuff in here. You know,
China, apparently, from the people that are true experts that study that area, they're talking about the fact that President Xi does not want a military war. He's building his military, no question. But he wants to try to basically bite off all of the, in other words, that we become so reliant upon them that we have, he doesn't need to fire a bullet, that we will be subservient to China because they own all of the production and commerce in the world. That's his goal. I mean, I think he's a pretty good chess player. That's my impression. So,
well, with respect to Taiwan, Tom, I think the United States has to take a very strong stand, and because it's all getting, like as you say, it's all getting cumulative. You know, he's playing this game of chess where one day it'll be checkmate and that'll be the end of the economy of the United States and warring between the two countries. But I'd like to move to the inflation thing because I heard a couple of comments from the president last night. And he asked about the gas prices. He said, Saudi Arabia's got to get their act together and produce more oil. I guess that was one of his responses. He seemed very indifferent to the supply chain, as you put it. I mean, Mr. Trump would have been, like you say, warp speeding, the remedies to these things. And he's just asleep at the wheel on this. But I think the real thing behind his indifference to inflation at the pump, inflation in the energy markets that are really going to be brought to bear this winter because natural gas is spiking as well, is I think his little woke crew of people that are calling the shots in that Oval Office want Americans to become obedient little minimalists under the banner of climate change. They want us doing less, traveling less, driving less, camping less. I mean, even on the national desk yesterday, I saw a snippet that said New York just banned the use of propane cooking in restaurants in the state of New York. So how far is it to a leap to where if we want to go camping and need Coleman camp fuel, that we won't be able to have that either? And I think that that's all part of their indifference to the economic pain we're seeing now is the fact that they're pulling the rug from us on purpose on our lifestyle and our ability to be energy independent. So his remark about the high gas prices. Well, you check with Saudi Arabia. As President Bush put it back in when he was in office, they have to open the spigots. Is basically what he said. So, but
I'm not sure. I agree with you. I agree with you in principle. I think that they are. I don't know how to get there because I don't think that way, but I really think that they think that climate change is by far the most serious issue. And whatever it takes, if you have to stop driving your car and turn the heat down this winter in your house, put on a sweater or sweatshirt or do something, all in the name of climate change, that's okay with them. I really do. I think they're okay with switching this lifestyle that we have. Anyway, I got to hit a break, but Gene, I'm glad you called. Phone number here is 855-295-6600.
It seems like you might live in an alternative reality, okay?
All right, he got me. I am a robot. So last night on CNN, they were in Baltimore, and Anderson Cooper was the host, and they were standing, no chairs. They stood and talked for an hour about this, that, and everything else. And here's a little bit of a montage of some of the questions and answers last night. If you missed the town hall,
are you close to a deal?
I think so. You know, look, I was a senator for 370 years, and I was relatively good at putting together deals. Look, it's all about compromise. You know, compromise become a dirty word, but it's bipartisanship and compromise still has to be possible.
You're also proposing for the first time ever federal paid parental leave. At one point you talked about 12 weeks. Now there's reports it's down to maybe 4 weeks.
Yeah, it is down to 4 weeks. And the reason it's down to 4 weeks, they can't get 12 weeks.
One of the other things that Democrats are looking to do is to expand Medicare to include dental, vision, and hearing. Will all three of those still be covered?
That's a reach. And the reason why it's a reach, I think it's a good idea. And it's not that costly in relative terms. But here's the thing. Mr. Manchin is opposed to that. So far, Mr. Manchin and one other person has indicated they will not support free community college.
There's a lot of Democrats in the House and Senate who are confused about where Senator Sinema actually stands on things. Do you know where she stands?
First of all, she's smart as the devil, number one. Number two, She's very supportive of the environmental agenda in my legislation. Where she's not supportive is she says she will not raise a single penny in taxes on the corporate side and or on wealthy people, period.
Should police officers, emergency responders be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes. By the way, I waited until July to talk about mandating because I tried everything else possible. The mandates are working.
Are you saying once you get this current agenda passed on spending and social programs that you would be open to fundamentally altering the filibuster
or
doing away with it?
Or
doing away with it?
Well, that remains to be seen. Exactly what that means in terms of fundamentally altering it, whether or not we just end the filibuster straight up.
When it comes to voting rights, just so I'm clear, though, you would entertain the notion of doing away with the filibuster on that one issue? Is that correct?
And maybe more.
A week ago, you said the Department of Justice should prosecute those who defied subpoenas from the January 6th committee. Was that appropriate for you to weigh in on?
No, the way I said it was not appropriate. I did not, have not, and will not pick up the phone and call the Attorney General and tell him what he should or should not do in terms of who he should prosecute. But I answer the question honestly.
Would you consider the National Guard to help with the supply chain issue?
Yes, absolutely. Positively, I would do that. But in addition to that, what you got to do is you got to get these ships in and unloaded. And one of the things in my infrastructure plan, there's $16 billion for port expansion. We have to be able to move things along. I don't want a Cold War with China. I just want to make China understand that we are not going to step back. We are not going to change any of our views.
So are you saying that the United States would come to Taiwan's defense if China attacked?
Yes, we have a commitment to do that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's a hodgepodge of an awful lot to go over. And we can take them one by one or wherever you like. There's just a lot there. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Let's get Betty in before we run out of time for this segment. We'll go through all these topics, but it'll probably have to be after the bottom of the hour. Hi, Betty in Oklahoma City. How are you?
Hey, Tom. I'm good. I just wondered, you know, if anybody out there has heard or had any of the people involved talk to them about why we're suffering and who's bringing it on us, because and this is true, I've had people, preachers, pastors, and even priests tell me that when people are happy and wealthy and well-fed and everything's going good, they don't want to repent, and they're afraid of what's happening in the world, of losing control of society. So they say they're going to punish the people so they will repent. They're literally going to make them suffer till they get on their knees. That's part of what I have been told. You know,
wow.
Now, I don't know if anybody, yeah, and like I said, these were people, you know, supposed to be men of God that told me.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. Thanks for coming by. So the president talked about a lot of things last night. I know that people laughed. I think he was joking. He said, I've been a senator for 370 years. People laughed. How about that 12 weeks for paid leave, federal paid leave? I still don't understand how the government can tell a business owner how to set policy regarding the employment of the people they're paying. The government wants to pay them, okay, but that's coming out of the business owner's pocket. Anyway, he was pretty straight. He says, we can't get 12 weeks. Expand Medicare. It's a reach. No free community college. The big one was Kristen Sinema. And this one, remember, we played it yesterday. We played it a number of days. The president going around saying, this will cost nothing. Zero. It will cut trillions of dollars of spending will cost nothing. And everybody's going, what is he talking about? Directly and indirectly, it would cost everybody a lot. But now they got a problem because Kristen Sinema said, I'm against raising corporate taxes. I'm against raising individual taxes. And remember, she represents Arizona, and Arizona is a purple state. There's a lot of Republicans in Arizona. So I don't if she's playing politics or whether she just says that doesn't make any sense to me, whatever, but she's against raising taxes. So if they can't raise taxes to, quote, wink, wink, pay for it, how are they going to pay for it? How are they going to pay for trillions of dollars of spending without raising taxes on people? And they're now, well, they have their deadline that was self-imposed that Nancy said was October 31st. That's Sunday. It's Sunday, a week from Sunday. They haven't even got a framework for the bill, let alone they haven't written the bill and they haven't put it into legislative language. So they are far, 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 far away, and they got a week to get this together. And now they find out that Kristen Sinema is against raising taxes. I'm so thankful for her. I like her already. But they're still saying, no, we'll do it. So in other words, if they're not going to raise individual income taxes and they're not going to raise corporate income taxes, where are they going to get the money? What are they going to assess? Tax, whatever you want to call it. And they don't know right now, but I'm worried that they are rummaging around the bottom of the barrel looking for some way to get money from you for their spending programs. They was asked about the vaccine and the mandates. He said, the mandates are working. What about first responders? Either get the shot or get fired? Yes and yes. So, yeah, I think this is all going to backfire on him. We're now getting word this morning that United Parcel Service, UPS, and FedEx are talking about the fact that if there's going to be a lot of people that work for the shipping companies, UPS and FedEx, that are not going to get the vaccine, and they are federal contractors, FedEx and UPS, so they're going to have to fire all those people that are not getting their vaccine. So, let alone the fact that your Christmas goods are probably sitting 100 miles offshore in some ship from China, but it's not going to be here on time. But even if it gets here on time, there's going to be a... What do they do at Christmas time at UPS and FedEx? They hire everybody they can hire that's 98.6 and put them to work. They're working 12-hour, 14-hour days driving those trucks. Not this year. There's going to be a shortage of people handling the processing of packages, the truck drivers that deliver the packages, and you're going to be going, why can I not get my package here for Christmas? And the answer is going to be Biden's mandate on the vaccine. I think this is going to backfire big time. I've told you a million times, I'm all for the vaccine. I got my two, I got my booster. I wish everybody would, but who am I to tell you how to live your life? The mandate, even Biden said 6 months ago, no mandate, no. And now he's going, yes. And yep, he's, I don't know who he thinks he is. I know he's, presidents tend to think that they're all powerful, but they're not. Does he I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself, but I don't think he understands the impact of his decisions. He has a notorious reputation for making bad decisions. And I'm going, Mr. President, you understand that there's going to be a lot of Christmas gifts that are not going to be able to be delivered because FedEx and UPS are not going to be able to, they're not going to have the staff, not only the normal staff, but they're certainly not going to be able to ramp up. They asked him about the ports and the problem with the ports. He says, "Oh well, I got $16 billion in my infrastructure bill that is for the ports." The infrastructure bill is being held up by Democrats because they want to vote for the human social welfare programs before they'll vote for the infrastructure bill. And even if the bill passed tomorrow, they're not going to be shovel ready, as President Obama finally admitted. So this whole thing was just on a display of a guy who doesn't understand what he's doing. Let's do cut 11. This is about gas prices. He was asked about, hey, gas prices are really high. What are you going to do about it?
My guess is you'll start to see gas prices come down as we get by and going into the winter. Into next year in 2022. I must tell you, I don't have a near-term answer.
Got to give him an A for honesty, man. A for honesty. Oh, I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have an answer. How about letting oil companies drill? Even if it takes them months to get around to drilling, once the world oil prices know that the United States is back open to drilling, the prices will go down on the simple news of the fact that they're going to open drilling again. But he goes, no, we can't do that. He has no idea about the fact that cutting off drilling on federal lands, how it impacts the price of gas. I have no idea. I don't have an answer. I was stunned. What about using the National Guard? We'll play that for you when we come back. We've got the National Guard. I was stunned. I'm stunned. Phone number here. I mean, do you know how sensitive gas prices are, oil prices are around the world to news of a country the size of the United States opening up drilling on federal lands? Prices would drop immediately. 855-295-6600. We'll be right back. I have a different opinion. You agree with me or you are up. Bleep, 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 bleep. By the way, Jen Psaki was asked about all these prices going up and inflation, and she quoted a bunch of prices. One of the reporters quoted prices. Jen Psaki says, "What are you talking about? I mean, the price of the average." She said the president has turned the economy back on. He's created 5 million jobs, and I'm going, no. We lost 11 million in the spring of 2020. And after we crashed the economy, then half of them have come back. He didn't create a thing. And so once they stop sending all this money out to people, then when the economy has to live off of its own regular vices, I think these numbers are going to be shockingly poor. But so when the prices at the grocery store go up and the prices at the gas pump go up dramatically, and I mean, rental cars are up 42% from a year ago. I mean, on and on and on. Isn't that a tax on people that make less than $400,000? Because quite honestly, the rich guy doesn't care about paying 42% more for a rental car. The rich guy doesn't mind paying $5 for a gallon of gas. The people it's hurting are the middle class, lower middle class, low income people. They're the ones hurting the most. Everybody's getting dinged. We all are. But they're the ones who are being hurt the most. And he keeps... I wish they would stop this. He created 5 million jobs. I mean, we're trying to compare 2021 numbers to 2020 numbers, and it's false to do that. Come on. 855-295-6600. Mark in Richmond, Virginia. Hello, Mark.
Tom, I'm stunned that you're stunned. I think that especially in regards to energy, this has been their plan. They believe their religion is that global warming or climate control, whatever you want to call it now, is going to ruin everything. And so the whole plan has been, it was in the Obama administration too, was to drive the cost up of our fuel system, fuel energy, to make alternative energy more palatable, because it's obviously too expensive when energy costs less. So it's the design. It's what they want to do. So of course he's not going to turn the spigot back on for oil and gas exploration, because that would that's the reasoning behind all this. I mean,
the bottom line though. It still comes down to, if you're a politician, you realize there's elections coming and you've got to make people happy.
They think it's the biggest threat. It's an absolute religion to them. They think it's, I mean, they've said it over and over again. They don't view anything other than climate change is the biggest threat to mankind. They've said it and said it and said it. We just have to listen to them and understand it. They've feel like it's the biggest threat. And who cares that China doesn't really believe that, and they're not going to go change their activities. And it is a global issue, not a United States issue. So, and the side benefit is it makes us less competitive. In their view, we are, in the view of those that think that the country is evil, they want to bring us down a couple of notches. And so this is the way you do it. And you kill two birds with one stone.
So weren't you surprised though by him saying, I don't have an answer? In other words, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I mean, is there anybody in the White House? What about his energy secretary? Can he say, hey, how come these gas prices are so high? And get a real honest answer, so at least he knows. But he said, I don't know.
Well, look at their answer on every other supply cost increase. They're not in reality there. So why are they going to be in reality with energy costs? I mean, think about it. They don't think it's too high. They want it higher. You know, they want $5 a gallon as the norm across the country, because they feel like if they do that, people will use it less, and they are accomplishing their goal, which is to drive down energy consumption.
You are correcto, young man. Remember when SUVs were the most terrible thing in the whole wide world, and we hate those SUVs, those big SUVs, and we've got these little green cars, and the guy, he's passed away now, that owned Chrysler, came out with a cheap little car, and he says, whatever you do, don't buy it. It's a piece of junk, but I made it so that my averages would fit their gasoline consumption numbers. They tried to get us to buy those little cars, and we would not do it. We did not do it.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's the whole design of the system is to, and they don't want to be, obviously, they don't think it's important enough for them to do it because they're still flying their private planes. They're still driving in
these
consortium of cars. But that's the way the leadership, the elite think. Not for me, but for thee. You know, you all need to wear masks. But when I'm out, I'm not going to wear a mask. It's across the board. It's a pattern. So that's the way I see it.
I'm looking at the history of from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the average price of gasoline in this country, and the last time it was up at this level was back, August of 2008. That would be the Obama Biden years. Went down and came back up again in April of 2011. Then another one in 2012 where it spiked back up. Another one in October of 2012. The last time we had one of these spikes up was 2014. So it went from 2008 to 2014. Yep. Who was in charge?
Yeah, exactly. Same people are in charge, Tom. It's just a different name on the White House. The same people are behind the scenes working the policies. The same thing I said with the whole thing, with the whole Afghan thing with getting people out as compared to what happened in Libya. You know, it's the same exact people running the system. So you're going to have the same things happen. And their belief, their religion is that climate control
is
the biggest threat to everything. So...
everything. Yeah. All right. You're right. I'm glad you called. Always good to talk to you, Mark. I appreciate it. I still find it stunning. I don't have an answer. I have no idea. Isn't he even asking, or I guess, he doesn't put gas in the car, so what does he know or what does he care? He doesn't seem to care. I thought he was for the little guy, you know, the blue collar guy, the guy in Scranton. I'm sure the Scranton guy's not happy.